Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December 23rd, the day before, 2021, 19 minutes past the hour. It is almost Christmas Eve and Christmas time. I do want to remind everybody, Glenn Coble is probably headed to North Carolina by now. Left about 19 minutes ago for the holidays, so Adam Lepp will be sitting in for Glenn today from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. this afternoon, so don't miss that. Now, today is a very special day in broadcasting here in Marion. By the way, don't forget tomorrow's Christmas Eve program. Sean Kraft will be in here. We're going to have live piano music. Pastor Whitaker will be here. We'll be on from 8:10 tomorrow until 1 p.m. in the afternoon, so spend your Christmas Eve day with us. Lots of surprises and programming you're not going to want to miss. We do have to get a good prize for tomorrow, though. You know, Nate had a great prize last night, $50 to Bob Evans. We need to get a good prize for Christmas Eve that people would be able to pick up tomorrow before we go off the air at 1 o'clock. Maybe it'll be a fruitcake. I don't know. We'll see what else is thrown in the mix between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow. But today is a very special day in Marion Radio, as I say, Marion Broadcasting. It is the 81st anniversary of broadcasting in Marion, and I thought something that might be fun. I love to cover history here on this program, and there were some articles in the Marion Star, dating back to 1940, obviously, that had to do with the start of broadcasting here in Marion. Now, this is kind of fun. They're short articles, so I'm gonna read them for you here this morning. But they give us a lot of information, and this is where it all started. You know, I started at WMRN. So many of us did. But this is how it all started. Now, this appeared in the Marion Star on December 20th, 1940. So 3 days before the station went on the air. It says, new radio station appointments made. WMRN program director and announcer named. Appointment of Russell G. Russell G. Solder as program director and announcer, and Richard Millett as announcer on the staff of WMRN was announced today by officials of the Marion Broadcasting Company. Both men are assisting in preparations for opening of the station scheduled for Christmas. Mr. Salter has been in radio work for 7 years and came to Marion from station WWAV at Akron, where he served as program director. Prior to that, he held similar positions with WMRO in Aurora and WROK, Rockford, Illinois. He formerly served as editor of the Rockford Register Republic and the Rockford Morning Star. He is a graduate of the Radio Institute of the University of California. Mr. Salter joining her husband here is a former radio entertainer, having appeared on broadcasts from Chicago and New York as one of the three little girls in blue. Mr. Millett has been an announcer at KVOS Jefferson City, Missouri. He previously had been in radio work as a musician. So how about that? The first program director at WMRN, Russell G. Salter, and his wife, Mrs. Salter, was an actress who appeared in The Three Little Girls in Blue on radio. How about that? I don't know if she was ever on air here. Does anybody remember back to 1940? But that was the article, December 20th, 1940. Then, December 21st, 1940, the next day, Marion radio station ready to broadcast, WMRN scheduled to go on air Monday at noon. Marion's radio station, WMRN, is scheduled to begin broadcasting Monday noon. Robert T. Mason, president of the Marion Broadcasting Company, said programs will be started at that time, subject to approval by the Federal Communications Commission. So far, as company officials could determine, the station has met the requirements of the commission and is ready to go on the air. The station held a sneak preview in the early hours of this morning. It went on the air at 2:40 a.m. for tests and signed off at 3 a.m. The program consisted of transcriptions interspersed with announcements that the station was testing. The station will be on the air daily from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m., and its interface-free reception zone is within a radius of 25 miles of Marion, although it may be heard beyond that zone. So that was December 21st, 1940, 2 days before the station went on the air. I guess that was the first time they tested the transmitter, still waiting for word from the FCC at that point to go on the air, but their broadcast day in the beginning, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and they had 25-mile radius of broadcast. So much like stations of this type. Now, this appeared 81 years ago today, December 23rd, 1940. Marion Station goes on air today. First regular program begun at 1:15 p.m. and it is begun. B-E-G-U-N. So for anybody who ever wants to know, you can celebrate this afternoon. 1:15 p.m. Eastern Time is when WMRN went on the air, December 23rd, 1940. Here is what the story was. Radio stations WMRN's first regular broadcast began at 1:15 o'clock this afternoon. The opening program was delayed when the official approval from the Federal Communications Commission at Washington, D.C. did not arrive this morning as had been anticipated. Upon receipt of the federal agency's approval shortly after noon, the station immediately went on the air. Broadcasting was to continue through this afternoon and until 10 p.m. The station is scheduled to be on the air daily between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. Listeners will find it at blank, and because this is going to be a trivia question, on their radio dials. The station was on the air in the early hours Sunday and this morning with test programs. So they went on late. We all start late in radio, but that was the story. 1:15 p.m. Eastern Time, December 23rd, 1940. Okay. Now, this is an interesting article. Marion residents interviewed as broadcasts begin. Now, this is from Christmas Eve, 1940. Features for tonight and Christmas Day listed by WMRN. Interviews with prominent local people and students home from college for the holidays were features of the opening broadcasts of station WMRN yesterday and last night. The station began its first regular broadcast shortly after noon, going on the air with the Star Spangled Banner. Recorded music and commercial announcements comprise the afternoon schedule. Five college students, Roger Morgan of Marietta College, Miss Virginia Stock, and Miss Dorothy McClure of Ohio University, Don Myers of Ohio State University, and Carl Robinson of Worcester College were interviewed in a 7:30 p.m. program. Mrs. Harold K. Mauser, Vice President of the Ohio Federation of Music Clubs, Coulter A. McGrew, President of the Chamber of Commerce, and Louis F. Michael, Executive Secretary of the Chamber of Commerce, participated in a roundtable discussion on the new radio station as a benefit to Marion at 8:30. Announcers Russ Salter, Dick Millett, and Edward Hamlin handled the programs. Tonight, the station will present additional interviews with college students at 7:30, transcribed Christmas music at 7:45, and interviews with Marion residents at 8:30. Christmas Day features include Dickens' Christmas Carol at 3 p.m., a Christmas concert at 2:30 p.m., and Christmas carols at 7:15 p.m. The daily broadcast schedule is from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Listeners will find WMRN at blank on their radio dial. So that's what went on the first Christmas, the first few days of broadcasting in Marion in 1940. Now, they also took out an ad in the Marion Star. WMRN took out a big ad, December 24th, 1940. Now, here's what the ad said. I kind of find this interesting. Marion's own radio broadcasting station, WMRN, is on the air. 250 watts, first on your dial, operating from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Radio broadcasting station WMRN will be dedicated to the advancement of educational and cultural life in Marion. It will encourage the development of local musical, dramatic, and civic talent. It will provide entertainment of the highest quality. It will encourage and stimulate the commercial activities of the community. Its purpose is single: to serve the residents of Marion and surrounding towns and farms. WMRN is your station. Your desires and wishes will govern its programs. Your talent and artistry will provide many of our programs. WMRN seeks to be an integral, a part of the community life in Marion as is possible. Its doors will be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, while operating to any and all visitors. We hope you will visit us often. We appreciate the generous support which has been offered WMRN in talent and assistance during construction and the fine reception among the merchants and businessmen of Marion. We express our appreciation to the pioneers in radio advertising in Marion, the Marion Broadcasting Company. Now, that was an ad that appeared in the Marion Star on Christmas Eve, 1940. Now, just a word about Robert Mason, who was the founder of WMRN. Now, what I'm going to read here, Robert Mason died on November 24th, 1966. It was a big article in the Marion Star. Big headline, Robert Mason dies in Atlanta. He was 66. Marion lost one of its most prominent citizens when death claimed Robert T. Mason, age 66, founder and owner of WMRN, Wednesday at 3 p.m. He died in Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where he had been a patient since he was taken from a plane for surgery following a ruptured appendix November the 1st. He was returning home from Florida at the time. Previously reported to be recovering nicely from the operation, his condition later deteriorated. He had been in uncertain health for many months. Funeral services for the prominent broadcaster and civic-minded businessman will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church with Reverend Robert Elliott, the rector, officiating. Burial will be in the Marion Cemetery. Friends may call at the Hughes Hall Funeral Home after 4 p.m. Friday. Mr. Mason's favorite charity was the American Cancer Society. Pallbearers will be Dr. Frederick T. Merchant, Arden F. Busick, William Black, Warren Callahan, Art Martin, Sheldon Dodds, James Reardon. And that pretty much was the obituary for the man who started broadcasting in Marion, who died in November of 1966. Now, you know what? Robert Mason is buried in the Marion Cemetery. That is one tombstone I have never seen. The founder of Marion Broadcasting is buried in the Marion Cemetery. I did not know that. Big story in the Star. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but a salute to Robert T. Mason was published in the Star, also on November 24th, 1966. But this just tells you a little bit about the man. It was he who made 1490 since 1940 a meaningful phrase. It was he who founded WMRN as a struggling little radio station in 1940, and by his own dedication, determination, and ability, guided it until it grew and prospered. It was he who, through his radio editorials and the services which he insisted his station perform, made it a strong force for community leadership. And it was he who gave countless hours of his own time and sizable amounts of his money to a wide range of civic activities because he loved this city and its surrounding area. Now, Robert T. Mason is dead at age 66. The last days of his life were spent in a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, because he suffered a ruptured appendix while on a plane on his way home from Florida, where he became too ill to move. He had been battling a chronic illness for many months prior to his death, and the sudden onslaught of a new critical health problem apparently was too much for him to withstand. Because of his illness, he had sold the radio station to Worth Kramer of Detroit as president of Elworth Communications. Announcement of the transcription was made October 12th, and it is to be completed by the first of next year. At the time the sale was announced, we wrote here how much we admired him as a hard-hitting but completely honorable competitor, as a progressive radio station operator, as a civic leader, and as a man. We can only add now that we shall miss him very much, as will his hundreds of good friends and the many thousands who knew him by reputation. A true measure of his character can be found in the fact that for many years he had served the Episcopal Church as a prominent leader, and this was labor in which he put his whole heart and soul. Although he had numerous positions of leadership in higher levels, he was lay reader and lifetime junior warden at Marion St. Paul's Episcopal Church, and these were responsibilities he treasured highly. It is wonderfully fitting that his last rites should be said Saturday morning at St. Paul's by his own rector, Reverend Robert Elliott, before the family he loved so well and the friends he treasured so dearly. This, we are certain, is exactly the way Bob Mason should have wanted it. Family, church, friends, community, and his station, these were the abiding interest of his life, and we know no better epitaph. And that was written by the Marion Star, who was a heavy-duty competitor to WMRN in the early days. Would we get something like that today? Competitive now means let's be as awful as we can to each other. That salute to Robert T. Mason from the Marion Star should hang in a lot of places here in Marion. But that's the story of Marion Radio, how it got started 81 years ago today. And I think that's a nice story. I hope you enjoyed that. Does anybody have anything to say about that 80 years of broadcasting here in Marion, 81 years today? 740-383-9944. I don't know what Robert T. Mason would think of broadcasting today. I don't think he would be as happy about certain things as maybe he was in his waning days. But you never know, I guess. Does anybody know any of the people, the college students? I was just thinking, the college students that were on the first broadcast at WMRN, in 1940. We read off their names there. They were listed. If they were in college in 1940, it probably would have meant they were born in the mid-1920s. So they could technically still be alive. They'd be in their late 90s. But did anybody know any of these people who were around? 740-383-9944. Also, the trivia question, which is from the other day. Where did WMRN start on the dial? It's listed in the ad and in two of these articles. What spot did WMRN have on the dial when it went on the air back in 1940? It was not 1490. Does anybody know what it was? 740-383-9944, if you know the answer to that. You know, there was a story when the radio station first opened back in 1940 that the editor of the newspaper at that time said he was going to tear the radio station down brick by brick. Go ahead, caller.
I think it was 1500.
1500, you got it. Now, right. Now, did you ever listen to it at 1500, Ernie?
You know, I really don't know. I don't know when they changed. I started that I remember listening in about 47.
47?
Yeah, so I'm not sure when they changed.
Now, do you remember...
I wasn't allowed to dial the radio at that time. I was only 5 years old, so...
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Hey, Ernie, what did you think of those articles?
I liked them.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
They were nice articles, yeah. One of the main things I remember about him was his Sunday editorials.
Oh. Well, I wasn't alive then.
I'll tell you.
But I've heard, you know, he did not mind sharing his opinion.
He didn't mince any words.
No, he did not. And it's funny because everybody in radio, as I say, and sometimes it does get you in trouble, and it got him in trouble at points.
Oh, yeah. He laid it down the line.
He did. He offered his opinion.
Yep.
He certainly did. But isn't that, I found that remembrance of him written by the Star.
Oh, wow, the Star, that's pretty neat. Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
My goodness. But,
before I forget, and you know, he's talking about the Marion Star today, their holiday. That's a Gannett practice they're starting.
Oh, really?
All the papers, at least in Ohio, are doing this exact same thing. I think there's about 10 papers in the Gannett in Ohio, and they're all doing the same thing.
You know, it's unfortunate, but it, you know, sometimes the local staff gets blamed, and I feel horrible about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not their fault.
No, it's corporate.
It absolutely is. You know, when I look back, though, at WMRN as I read those articles, oh, and by the way, the reason, and I got this from Madge Cooper, the reason they could not stay at 1500, how they got to 1490, was because they weren't considered a station in a major market.
It wasn't one of those prime numbers that
right.
they wanted to give to somebody, you know, big market.
Right, so they made a move, and the closest spot they could get was 1490.
Well, it worked out pretty good, though.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
The slogan
they
worked
fell
perfect.
Into it.
Yeah, but what's interesting to me about when they started, it wasn't music, even though that would have been very easy to do at that time. They brought college kids in.
Yeah.
They read announcements from people in the community. You know, that, and nothing against music on the radio. I think people think I have an anger toward music on the radio. No. All I'm saying is what we do here and what 1490 did for a long time is very unique.
Yeah.
And I think Bob Mason got that.
Radio was very important at the time. You know, when they started, nobody had TVs.
Oh, no.
Everybody listened to the radio. And there was tons and tons and tons of advertising they sold, you know. Everybody wanted to advertise on the radio.
Well, and that station in particular, and I don't know if you agree with what I said yesterday, and nothing against any of, because I was one of the people who came later on, but to be honest, I always felt that in a local community, the reason that that station always held such a strong position was the people who started it.
They
They were such, I mean, they got you hooked.
They were integrity,
Oh, Madge Cooper, Bob Mason,
all of them.
Sheldon Dodds. And that group got you so addicted to the radio that people never turned the dial.
Took it very, very seriously.
They did, and I always felt that when other radio stations, I remember in the early 80s when WDIF came into town, and you know this was thought to going to be the thing that knocked MRN off the map, I always felt the reason people didn't turn the dial wasn't because WDIF wasn't good, because they were good in those days.
Yep.
It was just because that group, Madge and Bob, yep, and people were used to that station.
I did the same thing. I didn't, even though I loved Charlie, I didn't turn it over and listen to him. I stayed on WMRN.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing, and you know, people, Marianne Michaels and Charlie obviously came after that first group of broadcasters, not too long after them, mm-hmm, but a little bit. But, you know, I think Charlie, if he were here, and Marianne Michaels, I think they both credited those people. Charlie in the Madge Cooper biography, which I know you've heard a million times on here,
yeah, right,
he says listening to Madge do interviews is where he picked it up.
They set the pattern.
Oh, they, and it's, and Marianne was so lucky, and it wasn't just people on the radio. It was great people on the radio.
Yep.
And it was a great, but I hope people think about that today. Have you ever seen Bob Mason's tombstone? I've never seen
it. No, I haven't. That really shocked me when you read that.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never seen it. I got to get over there today and find Bob Mason. You know, that,
you know, I mean, his brother was vice president of NBC.
Yes,
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and someday I'll have to do this, but Jeannie Evers, God bless her, when, and I know she's out there listening, when Charlie passed away, all these books, because what had happened was Guthrie, Howard Guthrie, his
yep,
law firm handled all WMRN's books in the beginning. And when Howard Guthrie died in the late 70s,
that was Madge's
husband.
Yeah.
And when he died, the law firm, eventually Lou Conkle, who was a good guy, I knew Lou pretty well, Lou took over the law firm, and then when Lou retired, which I think was in the early 90s, they were cleaning out the cabinets, and they had all this paperwork for WMRN's founding that was back in the 40s. Well, the only one in the early 90s, or early 2000s, really, who was still around was Charlie. So they said, Charlie, do you want this stuff? We're just going to throw it away. So Charlie took it, and Jeannie gave it to me about 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there are boxes and boxes of ledgers and what was spent.
Of important papers of time.
And they're leather-bound.
Wow.
Leather-bound. And they are what people made, what programs were on, why decisions were made.
Right?
Oh, letters that were sent out, pictures of the studio back then. When Jeannie gave those to me, I just couldn't.
The history.
Oh, and I will make sure that, God forbid anything happens to me, that they go to the Historical Society.
Yeah, that'd be the best place.
But I all these years, because really, Warren Harding became president, and he's founder of the Marion Star, so we pay homage to him. But we should pay homage to Bob Mason.
For sure.
Absolutely. Ernie, I hope you'll be with us tomorrow morning. It's good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
Take care.
I'll be here.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. Bye-bye. Yeah, absolutely. 1500 is where WMRN started at the dial. Now, Ernie, listening since 1947, boy, that's a long time listener, and I'm glad he's with us now. And there was never any competition with WMRN. I started there. I love WMRN. You just go to a different team. And I'm glad that when they syndicated, I do think a lot of their listeners came over here. And honestly, I was trained at WMRN. Charlie was trained at WMRN. Marianne Michaels was trained at WMRN. A lot of people who are on this station either listened or worked at WMRN and got their start there. So we certainly never forget that. And we don't forget Bob Mason. But I've got to get to the Marion Cemetery and find out where he's buried. Because people should pay homage to this man. Especially today. because it is the anniversary of broadcasting in Marion, 81 years, and somebody should put a wreath on his grave or something. And the thing that the Star wrote about Bob Mason when he died in 66, because this was a man they did not like in the beginning. As I said, the editor of the Marion Star back in 1940, because they were losing advertising because of the radio station, said he was going to go down there and tear that radio station down brick by brick. But 26 years later, when Bob Mason died, they were competitors, but they respected each other. And that's how it should be. And that's my feeling on the other radio stations in Marion. You know, they might not care for me. I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't talk to them. But I respect what they do. I respect that they're there. I really do. Go ahead. Well, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. It's Pastor Craig.
Hey, heard the show last night. I'm so glad that got on before Christmas.
Well, I'm glad it got on, too, and I thank you for that, making that an opportunity to get it played last night, and got it on before Christmas, and so I appreciate that.
No problem at all.
So you have all these boxes of books that Jeannie Evers had given you, and you've got all the stuff that you collect at the radio station. What about Scott Spears is going to start the Broadcasting Museum in Marion, Ohio?
Well, I tell you, I honestly, it needs to be, because the unfortunate thing, and I've said this on the air before, we do have such a rich history of broadcasting here, 81 years of it, but the Star did not cover WMRN in detail for a long time because they saw them as a competitor. And so a lot of that history, a lot of times when we do history on people, on things and people in Marion, we go to the Star because that's where it is. Well, in WMRN's case, it's very minutely there because they didn't want to give it too much attention because they considered it a competitor. And WMRN, when Worth Kramer bought it in 66, threw all this stuff out. So it's just been stuff that was gathered by Charlie and Jeannie and myself through Madge Cooper over the years that exists. But it needs to exist. That's exactly right. I think people would love to look at these documents, these pictures. I would love to make them available to the public. I'm just not ready to turn them over to the Historical Society because my fear is people won't know they're there, and and it's not the Historical Society's fault because they only have so much room. I would just like them to be available to people who would like to look at them.
Well, and, you know, I know that you don't really do anything with your spare time, so you could start a museum.
Well, that's right. I just lay around normally. No, I don't know. I think people would be shocked to see how professional they were in the beginning. These leather-bound books and the money that was coming in and the money people made in radio. You know, there always was a joke for a long time that radio was very low-paying. And maybe when the big companies came in, that was true. Bob Mason paid his employees very well, and I got the proof.
Well, I agree with you 100% that it would be nice, you know, if you could, or if the public could see a lot of those, you know, pictures and documents, and because it is a wealth of information.
And the pictures, because the studio looks nothing like it did in the 40s and 50s. I mean, the studio with the pill microphones and the checkered floor and the big studios with the tables, and it's truly something. There's a picture of Ishkabibble at WMRN, Fran Allison, and you've got to be, you know, pretty far along in life to remember these names, but they were big stars in those days.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, on a somewhat different note, last night I had the privilege of having a front row seat when Nate and Sarah did their duet.
Oh my goodness. It must have been like seeing, you know, Elton John. It was,
Let me tell you, Scott, if you had any trouble getting into the Christmas spirit when you saw that last night, there was no problem then. It was Christmas like you wouldn't believe.
Well, hearing it in the car, I can cite where I was, when I was, and the time of day. It's like one of those magic moments, like when the space shuttle went up.
There you go.
Pastor, it's good to talk with you, and maybe we'll talk again tomorrow morning.
We probably will. I've got a little surprise for you tomorrow morning, so we will definitely talk at some point.
Sounds good. Good. I look forward to seeing you, Pastor. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Pastor Craig. All right, 740-383-9944. I hope everybody listened to that program last night, Study His Word. Special Christmas edition last night from 5:15 to 6. It's available, I'm sure, on the website. Very, very, very interesting. And I just got an arrival here. My goodness gracious, I believe this is from the Shirk family. Oh, my goodness. If this is what I think it is, holy mackerel. Go ahead, caller.
My goodness gracious.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I think that you downgrade yourself too much. You're a wonderful person, and if it wasn't for you in the Marion area for us older people that keep you up date, and we like to listen that way, and you do a wonderful job, Scott, and you can continue on. I know that probably is coming to the, and I can't, I don't know nothing what I'm talking about, but the things like app and stuff, that you'll have to further your career onto that. So don't ever think you're hurting the feelings of us older people. I know that we'll catch up with you and everything, but progress is progress or progress, whatever you may say. But you hang in there. You're doing a wonderful job. And there's thousands of us that's listening out here. And if we have to count, they'll say, where did he ever get thousands? Well, we got two ears, so we can just double it, Steve.
Hey, good to hear from you, Ted.
You're doing a good job, and you have to keep it up. And you talk about quality. You got quality. As far as pronunciation and stuff on everything, there's no trouble of hearing and understanding your language. You're just an excellent guy, so I'm just bragging to myself and to everyone else that what a delight you have been to the Marion area.
Well, thank you, Ted. I appreciate you're my friend and we'll always be friends. Thank you.
Well, I don't put frosting on words. I just say the way I feel, and they come out that way. That's the way it is with you. So continue the good work and have a wonderful holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Carol and I both.
Hey,
thank you.
Stay well. Bye-bye. You know what? Thanks, Ted. I appreciate that quite a bit. Oh, it's the peanut butter fudge. Oh, my goodness gracious. Mr. Shirk walked in. I wish I would have had a chance to talk to Mr. Shirk a little longer. And I hope Phyllis is feeling better. I know she hurt her shoulder. My goodness, she brought goodies here. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, good morning on this frosty day.
Yes.
Not too much to say, just remind people, don't turn the radios off because the broadcasting extravaganza of live radio, not a station that's been around since the 1800s, but we still get our fill in, 7, 8, 9 years, I believe. No reason to turn the dial off. The excellent radio will be continuing after the 10 o'clock break.
Absolutely. 10:15 until 1 p.m. Look forward to it.
Yeah, open phone lines. You can discuss hot topics. Try to stump me on music or TV trivia between 73 and 87. See if I'm really the walking encyclopedia I claim to be. No one has actually ever stumped me. People have come close. So think of something which might be beyond my knowledge, and we'll see what we can do. And your prize would be the ability to listen to the rest of the show, knowing that you've actually outsmarted the wise guy who's hosting it. So that's a pretty good prize. That's a pretty good prize, I think.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye. You know what? I'm mesmerized now. I'm totally taken out of my game. I'm looking at this peanut butter fudge and the... I forgot. This stuff that Phyllis makes with the Chex Mix and the white chocolate... Oh, you know, the Shirks are such nice people, let me tell you. They, with the vegetables and the things they've brought down here and the desserts that they share with us, and I know Angie and Jeannie and Nate and the whole bunch of us are just so thankful for what they do. And this peanut butter fudge has become a tradition here at this station. And I didn't know if it was going to happen this year because I knew Phyllis hurt her shoulder, and I certainly understand that. But my word, my goodness, I can hardly wait to get off the air now so I can put one of these pieces of fudge in my mouth. Wow. Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Phyllis. What a great bunch of people they are. And I'm so glad they're out there. And this goes back to the first thing I said this morning. Your family. You know what? Sometimes we argue. Sometimes we disagree. But you know what? I care that you're there. And you know something? Bob Mason would say this as well. If it wasn't for the listener, there is no radio. Period. It's just that simple. Newspapers are different because of subscriptions. So, I mean, people can read the newspaper or paper their birdcage. People still have to pay for the newspaper, so that's their revenue. Radio's a little different. If you don't listen, we're not going to be here. And because you listen is why we're here. So you are always the most important guest on this program. You are always the most important thing at this radio station. Yeah, it's fancy-dancy equipment that gets us on the air and transmitters and computers and all that, and the people who do the programs are very important. But without the listeners, doesn't mean a thing. It's like if a tree falls in the woods, do you hear it? Well, if a radio station's on the air and nobody's listening, does it mean anything? You can do the best program in the world if nobody heard it. What makes the difference? You know what? I'm trying to say all these nice things right now because my mouth is watering for this peanut butter fudge. And I know that we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, by the way, the peanut butter fudge. Thank you so much, Larry and Phyllis. And I hope you're doing well this holiday season. I'm going to be back here tomorrow, so don't think you're getting away from me yet for the holiday season. And we are going to have a holiday time tomorrow. We are going to spend our morning with live piano music, Christmas carols, Sean in the studio. Who knows who's going to come in, but it's going to be a merry, merry Christmas, I can tell. So stay tuned. We're going on the air tomorrow at 8:15, as we always do, and we will be on the air through 1 p.m. tomorrow. It is going to be a blast, and I probably will weigh somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 pounds more than I do because there might not be any peanut butter fudge or the Chex Mix, the Christmas-themed Chex Mix, left by tomorrow morning. Well, go visit Robert T. Mason's grave today and leave a little something in the Marion Cemetery. The man deserves it. 81 years ago, he started broadcasting here in Marion. So that man deserves it, as well as Warren G. Harding deserves everything for starting the Marion Star. For this day, thanking everybody, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all, as leaves before the wild hurricane fly. When they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney